The following program is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV Radio, its management, or staff. This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Steve Beauvais. Taking care of business and working overtime. With market insights and so much more, talk to Steve now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Steve Beauvais.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Money Talk Show. Another week has passed. I hope your health is well, first of all, and your money somewhere on the list, as we say. Markets were a bit mixed today after taking a bit of a licking yesterday. This is not a time of year when normally things go really well, to be honest with you. You've heard me share some of that history with you before. Again, today, mixed markets. It's kind of rare to see the Dow up 62 points and the NASDAQ down. Some of the buzz in the market this week was talk of a divergence in things. The NASDAQ stock market has done much better in performance and been quite a bit ahead of the Dow and S&P for the past several years, as it usually does at the top of a cycle. But for the last month, the NASDAQ is actually negative about a point and a half, and the Dow and the S&P are up a point and a half. So normally when those lines crisscross in that manner, it can very well be the beginning of a corrective mode, if you will. Hopefully that's corrections are moderate in volume. What we had in 08 and 09 was disastrous. 50% down is not normal. Historically, it's 15 to 20, my friend Jerry told me. But in the last 20 years, there's been a few whoppers in there. So brings up that point again about risk. Don't let the risk in your account be dictated by what you're hearing or feeling around you. The risk of your account needs to be dictated exclusively by your needs for the money, your age, your comfort level with risk. This is what you often wonder what they mean when they talk about discipline when it comes to money. Discipline of mind. I'll give you an example of not discipline. Borrow from Peter to pay Paul. My joke was always, I don't borrow from Peter to pay Paul, meaning all my life I'm very strict about that money's for that, that money's for that. You know, I was never the guy that said, well, I lost the rent money, you know, or anything like that. As most of us don't, you know. But the idea of, I always said, not only do I not let Peter borrow from Paul, I don't let him even sleep on the same room, on the same floor in the house. I don't let them talk to each other. Borrowing from Peter to pay Paul is a bad habit. Don't do that. I'm sure the Dave Ramsey Show does not promote such behavior. This is the Money Talk Show, 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. A lot going on in the financial world globally, if you pay attention to such things. News from the Certified Financial Planner Organizations, a fiduciary duty for all CFPs, proposal by the CFP board to raise standards, draws praise and carries some risk, says, and a quote here from this fellow, we should act like fiduciaries regardless of what our title is, and bravo to that one, you know. Fiduciary just means act like a good doctor would. Do no harm. Do the best thing you can to solve the person's problem and then get paid some standard reasonable method, you know. And the world of medicine is the first area we have to have that figured out. And I think financially as well. Again, the problem is that a small percentage of people that are in the commission end of things will not put the customer first. And it's hard to regulate and hard to control. Most will. The bad news is we all get a black eye from those that don't, you know. So that's where this regulations are all moving towards. We happen to be all members of the team here. I know I can speak for everyone in favor of this in its broadest sense. There are some little clicks along the way that are going to be a problem, and I'm no complete expert on it. Just here to tell you that we've operated as fiduciaries. We began doing that voluntarily about almost 20 years ago, and now it's really going to become a law that people in my field kind of have to do it this way. Well, we've been doing it that way for 20 years, so there's no shock to us. We're not running around rearranging the furniture at Soul Financial Group, right? It's already in place, proper place. But I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I think it's going to attract more and more people as the profession becomes more and more professional. like accountants and doctors and other professionals. You know, they get paid hourly. They don't get paid big fat commissions in 10 seconds or anything like that. So I think it's going to help and help the credibility. And again, there are the majority, the vast majority of people in the financial business that work on commissions do a fine job. I've reviewed their work as a second opinion many times in the last 10 years. We're some of the number one people think of when they say, I like another opinion, because our name's been around for quite a while, you know. And the vast majority do good work. Matter of fact, I've had people in my office say to me, after I reviewed what they had, I said, this is very nice. This is a wonderful job, and I don't see any reason to change it. And I've had them say, oh, I want to be your client. And sometimes I can transfer the account without disturbing it and do just that. But it's funny. It's a funny thing, you know. So, again, these things you hear about does not mean automatically you're doing anything wrong. But you will be hearing from your people, if you have retirement accounts with them, there's a new way of doing things, which in the long run is more portfolio-minded. You know, even small accounts now in my office are going to own 5 or 6 different funds. You might only have $2,000 in there. And the purpose for that is to help to diversify more broadly. And what will that do? That will help to reduce the likelihood, never to zero, that you would have a 10-year flat spot. The NASDAQ stock market had 15 years of no gain. Gold or silver has had 20, 30 years of no gain. The S&P 500, the Dow, have had multiple 10-year flat spots. That's a drag, having an investment for 10 years, didn't make any money. You know, now stocks, they say, are supposed to be held for 20 years or longer, like real estate, and it'll almost always work out for you if you keep it that long, you know. But having a nice little portfolio instead of picking one fund, I think, is a very big improvement for most folks. Because what happens is, people who are under pressure to sell, if they're doing individual funds, they're going to show you the one that has the best track record the last 4 or 5 years. That's the lead into my main topic of tonight, called reversion to the mean. And that means that if stocks make 8% per year, and all of a sudden this fund made 25% per year, the bad is coming, folks. Reversion to the mean means that the average will always come back into play. The weather is a good example of it. There's no way the weather's going to always be nice for a long, long period of time, right? So if we've had a tremendously long period of time, one person says, well, it'll be nice forever, I guess, from now on. I don't understand that thinking. People do that with their investments, you know. I would say it's overdue to crack. Something's going to happen any minute. It's been this good for this long, because I understand the weather is a cyclical creature by its nature, just like investments are too. So be very careful of buying into impressive track records. I call it accelerating returns. It looks like this. This investment is up 40% in the last 12 months. The 3-year average return is a little lower than that. The 5 is a little lower. So the numbers keep getting bigger up into the 1-year measurement. That's a trap. Be careful with that. If it's a small part of a long-term portfolio that you're reallocating or moving over, it's probably fine. But I think it's dangerous to speculate right now. Stocks have been up for quite a while, and at some point they will have their breather. When exactly, we don't claim to know that. We don't operate that way. We don't pull money out of the market to avoid it completely. I have owned stocks in this stock market, myself personally, my own account, and client accounts absolutely consistently. Never was there a day I didn't own them for the last 25 years. If you're curious, people who bug in and bug out, very dangerous. If you look at the history of the stock market, you'll find that if you see a 20-year return of 7% per year, very often, had you thought you were clever and missed the best 30 days in that 20 years, you got no return. Imagine that. Now, it's hard to be that wrong that many times in a row, because those bad days are scattered around. Also, things that revert back to the mean are things that are cyclical by their nature. As I mentioned, the weather's a good example of it. We can all relate to that one. My favorite story is the fellow who wants to take his young son up camping up the mountain. And the son's dying to go, and it's a very dangerous thing to do. If the snow comes in up there, you can get trapped and frozen, you know, so it's dangerous. So the one person would wait till the weather was so good for so long that they felt so comfortable. They don't feel threatened anymore by the weather. It's been so good for so long. And that's when they go up the mountain. Well, what do you think's about to happen any minute when the weather's been so good for so long, right? To me, the smart fellow says the weather's been bad for way longer than normal. As soon as it breaks, I'm heading out up that mountain. That's how you handle cycles, in my opinion, and that's how you get ahead of them. The other methodology is just reacting, and it'll always put you on the wrong side of the curve. Investing is a little like body surfing. Those of you that can remember, I remember body surfing here in Little Compton. When I was younger, I wouldn't try that now. But catching the wave is difficult, and you're usually behind it, you know, and it's, you missed it until you master it after a while. And investments can work the same way. So look for things that are low if you have cashola to purchase. It's a difficult thing to define, I understand. But look at the track record of what you're investing in right now of new money. I don't think you want to invest on a track record that says that would be thrilling right now. And if you look around at the financial world, what's cheap? There's not a lot right now. Now, in 08 and 09, remember how unhappy we all were? The markets were on their knees. Everything was cheap. For a guy, someone like me, that's exciting. I want to buy everything. Everything's on sale, right? Not now. I don't feel that way, okay? So the retail store doesn't have the banner out. You know, stocks are not on sale. I know they're not cheap right now. I don't know if they're as high as they'll get. But mathematically says, I think we're at a almost fair value, most people will say. That means it can grow some more. But I don't think it can grow a lot more exponentially from where we are. Any further growth would probably be more a slower pace. A lot of the excitement is this new president. You know, we've never had a super-duper business person as president before like that, coming out of a non-politician. So whether you like him or not, it's something different. You know, I think it's kind of fueled the markets. It doesn't mean every company's going to make more money. Anticipated tax reductions are a big part of it as well, and we haven't got those yet. If we don't get them, some of the value in these markets, I believe, will be shaved a bit. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talking business, and I'll be back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show. Hey, check out our podcasts at 790business.com. Don't trust those websites, even the one I recommend. Big charts I like. Yahoo Finance, another popular one. When I say don't trust them, I just mean their detail can be unreliable. A particular mutual fund that I own myself and many of my clients happens to give you the proper dividend today for the first time since I've owned it. What a coincidence I'm talking about it. But I brought this up many times before. It would show a dividend of 1.29% per year when it was 5, and it's showing that now. Most of the time, they're incorrect in that kind of detail stuff, dividend yield, you know. So anyway, best to, before you make a decision to buy something, please visit the horse's mouth, meaning the website of the fund or the company itself, and get the facts from the most reliable source before you make a final decision. Even the site, again, that I like to use, Big Charts, can be inaccurate in those ways. So don't trust them. Right now, through these new amazing exchange-traded funds, by investing in preferred stocks, you can get a dividend of 5 or 6%, high-yield bonds, 7%, floating-rate bonds, 4%, short-term bonds, 3%, tax-free muni bonds, 3%. I like those as at my age now. Very conservative, you know, not stock market at all. 3% tax-free, that's nice. I like that right now. Emerging markets, 5% dividend. And how about utilities? This is the classic income stock. 4% dividend. These are rates of return that many people my age, I'm 58, would think is an acceptable rate of return in total, holding the investment for over time. And it's just a dividend. And the dividend is not guaranteed, but they're called fixed. And, you know, in these type of vehicles, I've never seen a dividend falter, unless it was something speculative, and these are not. These are pretty conservative things in general. So you have a variety of, so if you bought, you know, all six or eight of these investments, you would have an average return of about 4 or 5%. That's pretty wonderful right now. And you can take it as income, like rents off you would derive from a commercial or a rental property. Now, we also hope in the long run, and we believe in the long run, that the property will grow in value. But some cash flow from it right now is a nice thing to have. Some more bad news in the pension arena. State of Illinois, again this week, more news on their deficit, $2 billion a year or something. I got to share the story with you. We talked about it Wednesday night when Nathan was here. I believe it was Wednesday night because it was he who sort of really, you know, kind of really enlightened me. Let me tell you the story. See what you think. So anyway, this is 2.5-3 years ago. I'm just starting to train this young man in the world of finance. And I was his exclusive trainer the whole journey, although our office is full of wonderful people that he got a lot of exposure to and learned a lot from as well. But I was his main, you know, guy behind the closed door, kind of that kind of heavy-duty, intense training, you know. And we were talking about pensions and how they're in trouble. And he said, let me get this straight. These pensions, they have to pay out a guarantee without any guarantee of money coming in. And I said, yes. And he said, why would anybody do that? And I thought to myself, that's that young, clean mind that's not boggled down yet with nonsense yet. And he's right. I would be terrified if I was in a pension business. You are not going to be able to keep up with these pension payouts that were negotiated by unions without really any understanding of the financial side of it. These things change, and you can't be held to these things any longer when you have a rate of return from the investments. What if the stock market has a 10-year flat spot again? You know what that will do to pension resources? And we're in a world today where this is, I guess, more likely to occur than years ago. So no knock again on the pension folks. They got enough grief over this. It's nothing to do with them. People living a long time, and the pensions never counted on that. It always said for life. Well, you know, 40 years ago, that meant 8 years average person collected. Now it means 28. I mean, simple math. It's very difficult. So again, no knock at all on people participating or receiving or in pensions. I don't think they work any longer, and I think there'll be a time when you won't see them at all. Not at all. Now, the good news is if you like that arrangement, you know, guaranteed monthly income instead of having a big pile of money, when you get to your retirement, if you have a 401k plan with $400,000 in it, which is what you would have as a teacher, let's say, you know, 27 years from now, and then at that point you can buy what's called an immediate annuity, and it's a pension. You shop it around 4 or 5 major companies to see who'll give you the best deal. You give them the big pile of money. That's what the pension does. They keep your principal, and they give you a guaranteed life income you cannot outlive, you or your spouse. That's very comforting, right? You can't outlive it. Well, if you like that and there's no more pensions around, that's called an immediate annuity. They've been around since 1920. So we don't need the pension world to do that. You can do that with your own 401k value, IRA value. You can do it with cash money. Look it up on the internet. It's called an immediate annuity. I'm not a big annuity guy, but an immediate annuity is a different animal. It's a distribution tool. I think it's interesting in certain situations. I'm not big on annuities for accumulation, more so for distribution, because the only thing you can give you a guaranteed life income is an insurance company, because they have expertise in calculating life expectancies and things of that nature. So they're really the only people who can legally give you something that says it's guaranteed as long as you're alive. And you know what, folks? Could something go wrong to breach that? Yeah, you can see financial disaster occurring, or war. You know, who knows, right? So be careful with the guaranteed stuff. I really don't believe anything's really guaranteed anymore. To me, guaranteed means under no circumstances ever can anything happen. I don't believe your pension's guaranteed if that's the definition of guarantee. Because we're already seeing problems in that area. Again, no knock on the pensionaire people involved in it. Don't catch a corner of my conversation, please. My family members are involved in those pension plans that I love, so it's nothing to do with the people participating. Pension plans are a time that work well when interest rates are high. When rates are low like they've been for a decade now, and they're probably going to stay low for a while, although they are increasing, none of us really expect them to be roaring up in a very fast manner. That would require a really hot economy, you know, inflation fears, things of that nature, and we just don't see any of those symptoms in the economy at this point. 437-5000, 1-888. 345-0790 are our numbers. You can reach me every evening. Someone will be here at 5 p.m., variety of hosts. Monday evening, of course, Don Sowa. Tuesday night, Don and his daughter, Donna Grace. So a very experienced certified financial planner professional now. Of course, Don and I, you know, we've been here forever, which is nice to say. It's very comforting, you know. But now we have the youth involved, as you've noticed, Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. Wednesday, my son Nathan joins me. He's our financial historian. He's an excellent student and likes history like his father does and likes the world of finance like his father does. So we've added that element on Wednesday nights. About one day a week, he invites a local young business person on to talk about their journey of being self-employed, and hopefully that will help you, any of you who may be interested, you know, in taking that path. It's quite a different path than a traditional job. You know, it's more risk, and in the long run, supposed to be more return, but it doesn't always work out that way. I know a few people who took the risk and didn't get the return. It doesn't always work out. So it is a bit of a risk. Do not ever use the equity in your home to start a business. You spouses out there, put your foot down. Don't let them do it. Get a job delivering pizza every night. Save up the money in 3 years to do that. Do not use your home equity for a business venture. A quality piece of real estate down the street from you that you get inspected? Yeah, that's not so bad. Just a few thoughts on borrowing and lending from Steve Bove. And listen to the Dave Ramsey Show if you have any questions or concerns really about debt management and how to approach that if you're on the younger side. Dave Ramsey is really preparing all of our listeners here on 790 AM to be the best clients of ours in the long run. That's what he says. When you get debt-free, the next thing to do is plow the money into the investments. And that's our end of the, conveyor belt, if you will. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talking business. And I'll be back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Well, the clock is ticking on the state of Illinois to pull together its first state budget in 3 years. Why weren't they fired 2 years ago? How can they not have a budget for 3 years and be the worst state in the union on the verge of the first time for a state in the United States to be junk rated? They haven't had a budget in 3 years. Why wasn't the leadership fired 60 days after the first budget wasn't done? You know, this stuff makes me tear my hair out, folks. What the message here is, nothing's guaranteed. Make sure you have multiple sources for your retirement. Even if you have a nice pension in your job, please put a little bit in IRA, 401k, just 10 bucks a week, something if you're young, you know. Don't rely on the pension only. And, you know, just like the pension can be not quite as strong as you hoped it would be, so your portfolio can let you down some too. So I'm not picking on the pension in any kind of a, you know, pointed way. Any investment can, none of it's really guaranteed. The pensions were supposed to be guaranteed, but, like, that's what bankruptcy's for. When we thought it would work, but it doesn't, that's what bankruptcy's called, you know. Well, how can it's guaranteed? How can it fail? Well, because we were wrong. The math doesn't work anymore. So anyway, if you have a choice and you're young, if you have a new employment situation, and this is pretty rare, but probably more and more today, if you have a choice of participating in either one, I would go with the 401k, what's called defined contribution plan, because keep in mind, as I've been saying this for 10 years and nobody's listening, there's a thing called an immediate annuity. It's a pension. You can take a pile of money, IRA money, without paying taxes on it, purchase this thing, and get a guaranteed life income for you and your spouse, just like a pension plan. And you get to shop it around, so you get a better deal. You know, the pension's just all fixed and rigid, so I don't like them. I don't see the need for them at all anymore. Just a pain in the butt for the company running them. If you get to retirement and you have $500,000, you say, well, that's a bummer because I wish I had a pension. You just buy an immediate annuity. And there are thousands of companies that offer them. Shop it around, get the best deal. So the pension thing, don't sweat it. If you happen to like pension, the concept, meaning you don't have control over your principal, but you have a guaranteed life income. See, I don't like that. I want control over the principal, and I'll accept whatever goes along with that. That's my gig as far as that goes. But if you like it or find that appealing, that's perfectly fine. But you can take cash money accumulation, even in 401k and IRAs, without taking it out and paying all the taxes, and purchase within the IRA an immediate annuity on your own, and get a guaranteed life income from it. So that's really what a pension is. And they're very cost-effective, just a simple transaction. After that, it's just a deal between you and the life insurance company it's going to be, that they guarantee, based on their financial status, you know, that you'll get that monthly payment as long as you live and or your spouse if you chose that. So if you're a big pension lover, that's fine. Don't worry about the future. The option will still be there. The politicians that talk about it aren't sophisticated enough in finance to understand what an immediate annuity is, I think, because when I've heard the debates about pension, non-pension, I never heard this come up. If you have cash instead, you can get yourself right back to the dime where you want it to be by purchasing an immediate annuity. It's the same thing as a pension plan. based on all the same stuff. So if you're doing some financial planning, I would not put a COLA on a pension, even if you're told you have one. Nathan and I don't do that with our clients when we're planning. If they say, yeah, my pension's this, it's going to be increased by this, usually we chop it down 10 to 20% off the top, and then we don't do the COLA. It's just a bit of a hedge. I think it's unlikely today that you'll receive a pension with a COLA and collect it and go 27 years without some kind of problem. I don't think that's likely. So again, but you, those of you who know me well enough know I'm a bit skeptical in that manner, and I'm kind of proud of that. And I do believe that really today nothing is really guaranteed. Even the U.S. government is indebted to its eyebrows. So what good is that? What good is that? If I was indebted to my eyebrows like that and I was guaranteeing the debt, you wouldn't trust me, right? You see somebody who handles money that way, an individual, the way our government does, you wouldn't trust them with money ever, right? Isn't that crazy? This stuff makes me nuts. I got to do a psychology show or something on this, money and psychology, because there's a lot of entwining there. Important to understand the psychology of money to handle it correctly. The psychology of money is guiding you through fear and greed, because both of those are dangerous. I mentioned this crazy word called reversion to the mean. And what that means is if the U.S. stock market averages 8% per year over the long run, and then we have the 1990s where it averaged 18% per year, like double, reversion to the mean says in order for the long-term return to be back at 8 again, what has to happen mathematically? And that's exactly what happened. The following decade, there was no gain. If you do the math on this one, the average return is 8 over the long run, 8 to 9, right? And then during the 90s, the market averaged 19%, 18, 19. That's about double that, right? If you ask somebody at the end of 1999, and I was in the business then, and I would not have believed this. I am much more a believer now. If you asked them, what do you think the stock market will do the next 10 years, and the person said zero, they would have been right. Imagine being that person standing there saying that. And no one would have believed you. You would have been the only one saying it, and you would have been correct. And you would have had a very good basis for that opinion. It's called reversion to the mean. That's why when something is down, it has to come up. And that's why when something is up, it has to come down eventually, right? That's the way it really does work in the financial world. So be careful of the cycles. We're at a bit of a dangerous time right now. I would not speculate. Stick with your plan. If we have a little turmoil ahead, which I think we're due for, I believe you should ride it out and take advantage of the opportunities, if there are any, you know, to buy low maybe. Be careful of the websites. Again, don't trust them. They can be inaccurate. This reversion to the mean thing, if it's the stock market in the 90s and the 2000s, is proof of it. We just had the best bond market, corporate long-term bond market, ever, I believe, the last 10 years. And I believe, because I believe in reversion to the mean, that the odds are very high that the next 10 years will be one of the worst times to own those things. And that, guess what? Guess who owns all those bonds? Our government and pensions. They're going to have principal trouble going forward. They haven't even started to see that yet. So again, we're going to have to make some changes to all of this. And I think the best thing to do would be to get rid of pensions for future employees and give them a defined contribution plan of equal value. You know, we want everyone to come out of this even and fair, you know. Just have a different animal. And in the end, again, keep in mind, though this never seems to get anywhere, you can purchase a pension plan. It's called an immediate annuity. And you can get a better deal because you can shop it around hundreds of different companies. If you know a real shop insurance person, they could get out there on their insurance computer and shop that around for you and get bids, you know, like you do with mortgages today. And the competitiveness of that is in your advantage. So I don't like pensions that are fixed from the day you work to be a pension. But that doesn't mean I'm against pensions. This is a smarter way of getting them. And I think accumulating your money in cash and then purchasing only to the extent you want it. You know, the other problem with pensions, usually it's all or nothing. Do you want, you know, $500,000 lump sum or do you want $5,000 a month? Well, what if you'd like somewhere in the middle? Most pensions can't accommodate that, but you can do that in the private world with something, as I mentioned, an immediate annuity. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talking business, 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. Tonight we're talking about dividends, as I do a lot. I like the Warren Buffett comment. Dividends are proof of profitability. You can't fake a dividend. Dividends prove the company's profitable. It's the popcorn popping out the top of the pot, right? So dividends are nice, and these are some I own many of these investments. 6% dividend, 7% dividend, 4%, 3%, 5%, not one, you know, or half of one like you see in banks. Now these are investments, folks. Keep in mind these have principal risk. For some people, you know, I know a lot of folks that have been investing for 30 years or longer. I met with them, one of them today in my office, long-term client, who just never has losses ever. Been investing in the stock market for 30 years. And he says, I have a friend who lost half his money twice. How can that be? The very same investment. I said, well, he reacted to the down market and sold when it was low. He panicked. And that's what we're talking about. You can't do that. And if you're prone to doing that, I believe now would be a very good time to reduce your risk. If you're jittery or nervous and are prone to that type of behavior, I'm not. I feel the fear when it happens, but I've never reacted that way. I've never been through it at age 82, so that's why you don't want to have a lot of risk later in life because there aren't a lot of years to average it out over. Reduce your risk as you get older in general, but not always. The word contrarian is a sort of a brother to reversion of the mean. That means that if things are cyclical by their nature, like the weather is, right? And it's been really good weather for longer than ever been recorded before. You know the bad weather's close, right? Common sense, right? Okay. If it's the worst period of time on record of bad weather here in Rhode Island, you hear it in the news, what do you think? It's going to be bad forever? I mean, some people actually do think that. It's called thinking in straight lines. The world works in cycles. So whatever the recent pattern is, people project it in their mind. It'll always be that way. And that's what makes them drop their guard with stocks at a time like this and overload it because they've been doing well for a while, you know. So be careful with these trends. They're very tricky. And investing may be mechanically easy today, and it may be financially inexpensive today to buy and trade stuff, but making great investment decisions has never been easy, and it will never be easy. Don't mistake cost and mechanics for the psychology of the art or the trade, you know. It's a big difference. You don't want to be that guy that was in my office 5 years ago crying in his 40s because he took all the equity out of his house and thought he was going to be a day trader and make millions in stocks and lost $240,000 of equity in his house. And actually was in tears in the office. And I'm sorry, I can't help you. I don't have an extra $240 to give you. I guess he kind of thought I was going to recommend some really aggressive investments to help him get back. And that just sounds like more bad decisions, you know, in that situation. So be very careful. Don't ever think for a moment. Even us professionals, don't any of us, including moi, don't ever think for a moment you got this stuff figured out because you will be humbled and shocked at any age. Talk to somebody in the business for 38 or 40 years like me. We're pretty rare, that tenure, but we're out there. And you we'll share with you times we've been very surprised by many things in the financial world that you thought you maybe have seen it all before. Well, I see probably 2, 3, 4 times a year something in my office when I turn to Nathan and say to him, I've never saw this before. And I think it's important to point out to him because of his youth in the field how complex it is what we do. That imagine being who we are, 25 years on the air, 38 years as a licensed investment advisor, and see things on a pretty regular basis. People show me an account they have or a type of little retirement plan at work or a rule that they have on their plan only that I've never even heard before. I've heard of a 403B with a match. I've never seen one. I've heard of them. Now, many of you here in Rhode Island have 403Bs, but there may be one school system that has a match I've heard about. I don't know which one it is, but I've never met anyone from there. So there's some beasts out there that I've heard of, but I've never actually encountered them. But you will run into them on a regular basis. So it's a complex world, the world of money. And so our advice is just to be careful. We don't automatically discourage anyone from investing on their own. There are those of you. I have met people along the way that I thought would do very well investing on their own. They had the right kind of mind for it and the right kind of natural skills. One of you folks came and saw me in my office about 2 years ago, a nice gentleman who I enjoyed very much, said he was a big fan of the show and came in and said he'd been managing his money for years and he had about $1.5 million that he was handling and he wanted me to take it over. No, he said, I'm kind of, at my age, I don't want to have my face in a paper all the time and you know, let you take it over. You know, and we talked for a half hour. And at the end of the half an hour, I said to him, I don't think you need me yet. And he said, let me think about it. And then he wrote me a beautiful letter complimenting me professionally and how honest I was with him. And he said, I think you're right. I'm not ready yet to turn it over to you. So he said he took the letter and put it in with his will to his family that if he died, that his advice was to have me handle the family's financial affairs. But I actually sat with him in the office smiling at him and said, I don't know. I'm not sure that you need me, is what I was saying to him. And he just said to me, well, that's just refreshing in itself to be able to have this kind of conversation. And he went back and handled it himself. And I thought he was doing a very good job. And he said to me, well, I get a lot of my ideas from you on the show. I said, yeah, well, I kind of figured part of that was in there, you know. This is Steve Bowie on the Money Talk Show. Our numbers here are 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. And we have podcasts available. 790business.com.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790. This is your station for talk and business. We're talking about dividends tonight and some super nerdy stuff. I only sneak in once in a while. Hope you don't mind. Dow companies, you know, the 30 companies that we all know very well, Verizon, Chevron, IBM, ExxonMobil, Pfizer, Cisco, General Electric, Coca-Cola, Intel, Procter & Gamble, Caterpillar, you know, that list. Listen to these dividends. Verizon Wireless, 5.2% dividend. Chevron, 4.15. Oil's out of favor. That's a really good buy right now. IBM Technology, I think that's kind of pricey right now, but 3.8% dividend. ExxonMobil, again, I think that's a nice one to look at. Pfizer, long-term healthcare companies usually pay really nice dividends. GE, one of America's greatest companies, 3.5% dividend yield. Procter & Gamble, 3.7%. Johnson & Johnson, 2.5%. And then go right down to Visa, 0.7%. So now why is that dividend so small on Visa? Because that's primarily a growth stock. It doesn't pay much dividend at all. Walt Disney's only 1.48%. Dividend yields are inverse to share prices, folks. So very often when you see a yield that's high, like these oil ones, what it's telling you, if you have experience, the message is the prices are low. The dividend didn't change from a year ago. The share price fell, and the ratio creates a different dividend yield. Dividends don't work like they do on bank accounts. This is one of the more fascinating conversations I have in my office with clients, and I try to explain to them that dividends on stocks and bonds are like rents on an apartment building. The cash flow that comes out really doesn't have a lot to do with the property value. You see, if you're used to dealing with bank accounts and traditional type savings, if you're getting 5% on $100,000 and then suddenly it's not $100,000 anymore, then you're going to get less dividend, right? Less interest because it's less money. And that's true in a bank account. It's not true if it's price fluctuation in a bond or a stock. The dividends from these type investments are issued by the companies, or the word they use is declared. So you have what's called an ex-dividend date. For example, if you want to buy Verizon stock, July 6th is their ex-dividend date. So everyone who owns shares as of that date will receive the dividend paid out on August 1st. You know, so if you're going to buy the stock, don't buy it the day before. This is one thing to know about dividend stocks. If you buy it the day before, you miss the dividend. Why not wait one day, buy it, be on the dividend list, and get that dividend you know, right out of the chute. So 3-5% from companies that you know well. Now, that leads me to one of the final topics of tonight, and that's topic 409. Check out the IRS website, you fellow nerds, and under the search engine, type in topic 409. It's going to tell you all about a special part of the tax law where special dividends, like American stocks that pay dividends, we as American citizens, if we invest in those, most of us will get a special tax break on that. People who want a 10 and 15% federal tax bracket pay zero on those dividends. The rest of us pay like a 15, 20% capital gain type rate on it. And then people who have very high incomes, I think over 400 or so, don't get to do that at all. And they have to pay the full boat on the tax, you know. But it really is a tax law, topic 409, that benefits the middle group, the lower-end middle group. And so couples can have an adjusted gross income in retirement of up to $60,000 a year, invest in the right things, and it may be tax-free for you. And I don't mean 1% tax-free. I mean 3, 4, 5, 6% tax-free. It's a very little-known thing. I give copies of the report, Topic 409, to clients, ask them to give it to their tax experts. And for the first 2 or 3 or 4 years, even the folks in that field were saying, what's he talking about? And I said, well, go to the website, irs.gov, you know, and check it out. There's opportunity there to get some nice income and get a tax break on it. Now, what if you were to receive a dividend, let's say, of 5%, and then you got a special tax rate, a reduced tax on it? Well, now it's like getting 6, right? It's called that would be called a taxable or an alternative tax equivalent. So there are ways today for folks, and it's available to those of you in the middle class. When you talk about taxation on stuff like this, people automatically think, oh, that's for the very wealthy people. No, you don't have to be wealthy to own, GE, I don't think, or even Boeing or Merck or Caterpillar. These are very, very, very solid companies that work in heavy industrial area. You know, I pretty safe investment. Good rule of thumb for individual stocks: don't let any one stock exceed 5 or 10% of your overall investments. I think that would be a mistake. They are the most exciting, the most intriguing, and the most dangerous of all of the investments you can choose. Going one stock at a time really is the most dangerous way for average. Not for professionals. They have methods and training on how to diversify. You can pick today, and I have a portfolio like this. It's called Moderate Growth. It pays about a 3% dividend. Goal long-term is 6% return. 9 exchange-traded mutual funds. So that's what you see on the fund, 9 different things. One says emerging markets. One says floating rate bonds. One says short duration. One might say real estate, you know. But if you look at the micro report, because these are mutual funds, these are the new, very cost-effective, very hip exchange-traded funds, but they're still mutual funds. You know, they're still funds. And so they have many hundreds of different investments inside of them. So this group of 9 that I put together actually has 5,325 individual investments, but the client only has to see and understand the 9, macro categories. And I think this really is the way of the future, these new ETFs, although there are always a variety of ways of getting it done. This is Steve Bowie. Thank you for joining us for 25 years and all week. And, of course, tune in Monday night for Don Sowell right here on AM 790, a station for talk and business.
To the great big world, I see him lurking in bookstores, working for the public radio.